Earlier this week, there was another round of Democratic presidential candidate debates as the 2020 election cycle heats up more and more and more. Of course, North Carolina is going to be very much in the spotlight this year, not just because of an anticipated close presidential election, but also a close gubernatorial election and an anticipated close election for U.S. Senate. Tom Tillis running for re-election, and he'll have a strong challenge from the Democratic side. He's also right now facing what appears to be a strong challenge in the primary, too. For more on all of that, we're joined by Tom Jensen, who's the director of public policy polling based out of Raleigh. Publicpolicypolling.com is their website. You can find them on social at PPP Polls. Tom, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, Aaron. Good to be with you.
So let's start by talking about the Democratic presidential debate that was earlier this week, or round two of it. People still talking about it, still a couple days out from really seeing any public opinion numbers to get a sense of any movement one way or the other with the candidates. But what do you anticipate the impacts or non-impacts potentially being?
Well, I think that it's interesting to sort of look at what happened with the polling after the last debate, last set of debates at the end of June. I think coming out of those debates, there was a very clear consensus that Kamala Harris had sort of had the best performance and that Joe Biden maybe had had one of the weaker performances. And we definitely saw that reflected in the polling that came out sort of in the immediate aftermath of the debate. Biden went from being in the 30s in the polls to only being in the sort of mid-20s. Kamala Harris saw a big increase in her support. Elizabeth Warren saw a more modest increase in her support. And it definitely seemed like the debate really had been a difference maker. But now, sort of with the hindsight of a month, things are pretty much back where they were before that first debate. Joe Biden's back into the 30s, back into having a double-digit lead over the other Democratic candidates in the field. Kamala Harris, who had temporarily gotten sort of more into mid-single digits, is now more in the 8-10% range in polls, sort of maybe a little stronger than she had been before that first debate, but not significantly so. So the debate had an impact in the short term, but it didn't have a lasting impact. I don't think there really were such clear winners and losers this time around as there were in the first round of debates. So I'm sort of skeptical that the polling is going to move that much anyway when the polls post-debate start to come out next week. But I do just think it's important to remember that even if there is some sort of momentary polling increase for somebody or decrease for someone else, there's not much reason to think that that'll really be lasting.
What might lead to a lasting shift? What are some of the things that you see as potentially leading to any big movement one way or the other in terms of where Democrats are leaning towards this candidate or that?
Well, it seems like the only thing that has caused anybody to really move up in a significant way all year has been sort of significant national TV moments. Pete Buttigieg has a very successful CNN town hall in March, and that vaults him from the LOL, why are you running category all the way into the top tier, really just in the span of a couple weeks. And we did see, even though it hasn't been lasting, that Kamala Harris firmly put herself in the first tier after the first debate, even if she's not quite as close to the lead as she has been. So it does seem like the things that cause people to sort of move into higher polling territory are these big, high-profile sort of events. And it's sort of hard to say, you know, what those are going to be moving forward that sort of cause people to catch fire. I really think probably the biggest thing that could cause movement in the field at this point is if one or more of the people who are polling really well somehow do something wrong that causes them to lose support and opens up opportunities for other people to move up. If Joe Biden says or does something that really does make people have second thoughts about voting for him in a way that hasn't happened so far yet in this race, or if something similar in that vein happens to Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren, I actually sort of think that we're more likely to have significant movement in the field right now from somebody doing something wrong than somebody doing something right.
Speaking with Tom Jensen, publicpolicypolling.com, the website, and again, find him on Twitter at PPP Polls. So speaking of things that have not really moved the dial all that much politically, let's turn our attention quickly to the Mueller report. We kind of talked about this last week, that all of the different revelations and Mueller's testimony last week not really likely to affect public opinion one way or the other, and that certainly seems to be the case. But you did do a survey about public opinion regarding just the Mueller investigation in general, and came up with some pretty interesting results. What were some of the things that you found?
Well, we found that 56% of voters nationally do think that the Mueller report was fair and unbiased. So I think in the wake of his testimony, there's definitely a sentiment that Mueller had done a good and fair job. We found that a majority of voters, 52%, do not think that the Mueller report exonerated President Trump, even though he's continued to claim that that is the case. We found that 71% of voters think it's important for Congress to provide oversight of the president and make sure that he's held accountable for his actions. So you don't see a lot of voters saying that he should just be let off the hook. But we also asked on this poll, do you approve or disapprove of President Trump? 42% approved, 53% disapproved. And that's basically where we found him throughout his entire term in office. So I think that Mueller is generally seen as a credible figure. People think that he was fair in the report. Is that really causing opinions to change about Donald Trump? We're not seeing that happen yet.
Is there any overlap at all between the 56% that thought the Mueller report was conducted fairly and the 42% that think Donald Trump is doing a good job?
There's a little bit, obviously, for those to be able to intersect. But I think the 15 or 20% or so of the people who think the Mueller report was fair, who also still approve of Trump, probably sort of fall into the camp of thinking that it was fair, but it didn't prove anything. So they're fine with that because they think it was a nothing burger.
Speaking with Tom Jensen. So let's bring it back to North Carolina. See a really close U.S. Senate race anticipated for 2020, in addition to the presidential race in North Carolina, really, really closely watched already, and will only be more so as we get into 2020. Tom Tillis is the Republican incumbent running for re-election. We're still a ways out from the general election where things are going to stand there, but there are new numbers out on the primary challenge that Tillis is going to be facing. Where do things stand as far as that goes?
Well, Tillis really is at serious danger in the Republican primary. There's a new poll that came out last week that had Tillis only ahead 40 to 30 in the primary. We've done a poll that had Tillis only ahead 38 to 32 in the primary. So it definitely is within the very much within the realm of competitiveness for Tillis to only have a pretty modest lead right now, and lots of voters undecided. And what put Tillis in this position where he is so vulnerable to a Republican primary challenge is over the winter, when he said he was not going to support President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the border. And that caused his numbers with Trump voters to just sort of tank. And that's what's put him in such perilous shape. What's interesting is that he ended up flip-flopping on that, but it still hasn't done him a lot of good. And as you noted earlier, he voted against the Senate budget today, which is sort of interesting because that's another example of going against President Trump. But it's sort of a complicated issue because the sort of conservative groups that maybe have some interest in getting rid of Tillis also were against Trump on that because they thought that it increased spending too much. So that was sort of a complicated one on the internal Republican politics, because on the one hand, you don't want to get in bad shape with President Trump by voting against him like Tillis did today, but you also don't want to get in bad shape with Americans for Prosperity and Club for Growth and those sorts of places that wanted a no vote. So I think it's sort of it's a situation that's pretty indicative of sort of the splits and tensions within the Republican Party.
PublicPolicyPolling.com for more numbers from PPP. You can also find them on social media at PPP Polls. Tom Jensen, as always, thank you so much.
Thanks, Aaron. Take care.